If you have your Bible, stand with me to the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3. And I just want to read the very first part of the first verse that we will be looking at this morning. In 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that we can come to you today and we can call you Dad, Abba Father, our Father who's in heaven. Lord, we know that your name is holy and you are to be praised. And God, we just want to say as your children, we love you and we thank you, Lord. Speak to us today. We know that your Holy Spirit is here and that he is moving and he is working and he's already touching lives, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you would do your work in us for those who know you, that we might be encouraged, that we might be lifted up to you in a way that we would want to know you more and serve you better. And Lord, for those who may not know you this morning, that you would speak to them and let them know how much you truly love them and that you desire for them to come and receive you as Lord. So Father, I pray for eyes to see today and ears to hear and a heart to receive and a mind to believe and a will to obey what you would want us to do, Lord. Help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. I understand the accountability on my life, and I accept that place in rightly dividing your word of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at, we're going through the book of 1 John. For those of you who are a guest and this is your first time with us, we've been preaching through this letter. And John is writing to a church similar to ours, kind of a young church in a way. It was a group of people that have been removed from Jesus. So a lot of the people hadn't really, they weren't eyewitnesses of his account. And so there had been some false teachers creep in. And these false teachers began messing the church up, and they began teaching things that weren't true. And so John's writing a letter. He's writing this letter to correct a lot of things, and he wants them to know some things. And so we've been looking at several things throughout this letter that John wants us to know. And this morning, he wants us to know something as well. He wants us to know that we are children of God. You might want to just write that down, because the depth of that probably hasn't hit you yet, nor has it hit me like it should, because that is extremely profound and that is extremely deep. And so we look at the very part of this chapter 3. He says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us." This great love that John's talking about, it's an out of this world kind of love. It actually means from a different country. It's an amazing kind of love. And he says, see what kind of a great love that God has for us. And I don't think we fully understand the amazing love of God. Because our love is so conditional, is it not? If you're good to me, then I'm good to you. And if you love me, then I'll what? Love you. But God's amazing love was so much that the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet enemies of the cross of Christ, he died for us. He says, see what kind of an amazing love that the Father has bestowed on us. It's the Father's love that was given to us, not love that we earned, not love that we deserved, not love that we could attain to, but it was given to us by the Father. That's amazing. Because, see, we can't find that kind of love on this earth. We can't find that kind of gratuitous love that he just freely bestows on us. Because why? Because of his amazing love. He's given to us. Some of you have received that. Some of you realize the weight of your sin that was lifted off when you gave your life to Christ. How many of y'all can testify to that weight? Yeah. And you've experienced that burden lifted off of you and that grace being imparted to you and that you have been forgiven and set free. He says, it's so great a love that we can't even fully understand it. It's an amazing love that's out of this world, that originates from heaven. It's been freely given to us, and that we should be called children of God. That we are in his family. That we're his child. You know, it's hard for us, for some of you, it's hard to grasp this, because maybe you didn't have a great childhood. Maybe you didn't have a great father. Maybe your father abandoned you. Maybe your father walked out on you. Maybe your father was abusive to you. Maybe your father was physically there, but he wasn't present in your life. And so you have this, when you hear God as being father, it's kind of hard for you, because you don't understand, because your father was not that great in your life. If that's how God is, if he's like my father, then I don't want anything to do with him. But I have to tell you something. God is a great dad, and he is a great father who loves his children. Some of you had a father that if you didn't get it right the first time, well, then he would just go off on you. Some of you grew up in a home, you were so petrified that you were like walking on eggshells, because he might get on you for just making a simple mistake, like dropping something or breaking something. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, he's in this yelling craze fit and punishing you. And so some of you have been wounded today. But I want you to know a father who's not like that. Okay? He loves his children. Yeah, he disciplines his children, but he loves his children. He loves his children. He doesn't get mad at you if you break the plate. He is a father who loves his children. Some of you grew up in a church or in a tradition that you were always wondering if you were still in the family or not. You know? Am I still a child of God, or am I? Am I not? You know? Has he kicked me out? You know? Am I a child? And you've lived your life constantly knowing, I wonder if I'm in, am I out, am I in, am I out? I want you to know something, that we are in God's family because of his tremendous love. And we are called children of God, and we're not just called children of God, it says, and such we are. Because some of you think, okay, yeah, I'm a child of God. But do you really get it, that you're a child of God? He's not just saying, hey, isn't this a great idea? Isn't this a great concept? Does this not just make you feel good? I mean, isn't this just one of those ooey, gooey, bubbly, you know, you're children of God? He's like, I just don't want you to feel good about it and make yourself, ooh, you know, this is a nice thought. You know, we're children of God. He goes, you, and such you are. You really are. You really are God's child. If you've given your heart to Jesus and he saved you, you are a child of God. You're in his family. He is your father. And he loves you passionately. And that's amazing. And some of you this morning, you don't know Christ. And you're wondering, can he love me? And I want you to know he can. He can. And you're like, well, Grant, you don't know what all I've done. It doesn't matter. You said, well, Grant, you don't know what all where I've been. It doesn't matter. But you don't understand, it doesn't matter, that God can forgive our sin and make us whole. And so he gives us some things. He wants you to know that you are a child of God. For this reason, he says, what reason? That we're children of God, that we're his children. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. Now, those who aren't believers, sometimes they can't understand us, right? Sometimes they think you're nuts. And you might be, but I'm talking about a different kind of nut, because what Paul says is that the cross is foolishness to the world. And he says that we can be fools for Christ. So I can be a nut for Christ because I'm held on by a strong bolt. Amen. And so the world doesn't understand us. Why? Because the world doesn't understand God. You see, in John chapter 1, I don't have that on the screen, and I don't even know if I marked it, but it just came to me. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For those who believe became a child of God." In verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." His own received him not. The world rejects him. The world doesn't understand. Lost people don't understand. And I was listening to Adrian Rogers on the radio. Now his voice is still on, but now he is in heaven with the Lord. And he was talking about this kind of this concept. I think he was preaching out of 1st or 2nd Peter. And he said something that I had never really thought of or looked at. And he said, "Don't be so hard on the world because of the way that they can understand. Because here's what the only thing that a lost person knows is what you reject. They have no idea about what you've received." You see, the lost person, all they know is the things that you reject. Because maybe when you were lost, you did a bunch of stuff. Maybe you're right there partying with them, doing the same type of stuff that shouldn't be done, and you were behaving in ways that shouldn't be behaved, and you come to Jesus, and he changes your life, and he cleans you up, and you receive his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and you get a whole new life, a whole new thought, a whole new way, and he makes this change in you that you're like, "I don't want to live like that anymore, I want to live like this." And the reason why you can say, "I don't want to live like that anymore, I want to live like this," is because you've been brought into his family. And a lost person still over there going, I don't get that. I don't get why you talk the way you talk now. I don't get why you do the things you do now." It's because they've not been brought in the family. Some of you were so against Christians, and you're just so anti-church that you thought they were stupid, they were dumb, you know, they didn't know a thing, they didn't have any fun, all this, you know, you'd even laugh at them, maybe at work, you know, and talk about them, you know, especially preachers, you know, laugh at preachers. I mean, they're an easy target, right? I understand that. I get that. You know, poke fun at them. And then, all of a sudden, God grips your heart, he saves you, redeems you, brings you in the family, and you're going, and then you go, "I get it. Now I get it. I didn't, but now I get it." And the lost world, they do not get this amazing love of God because they haven't received it. He says, the world doesn't understand you. So sometimes, as Christians, when we actually live out our faith and we actually do what God's called us to do, and it's a life, way of life, and not just a Sunday show, amen. And it's a way of life, and our faith is lived out all through the week. Sometimes the lost people, they scratch their head, and they look at us as peculiar people, because we are. Because we're not of this world. This world is not our home. This isn't our final destiny. We don't live for just this earth and this world. We have a greater purpose. They don't understand. So if people ridicule you, mock you, you know, how do you respond? Do you go, you know, "Well, you're stupid and you're going to hell, so it doesn't matter, you know. You know. Better bring sunscreen. It's hot down there, you know." Do you do that, or does your heart break for them and you begin praying for them and you be patient with them as you share your faith with them? Because they don't understand it and they don't get it. And there are children of God and there's children of the world. And we'll go further into that, what that actually means. All right, let's go on to the next verse, verse 2. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God." Beloved, loved ones. Loved ones. You're children of God. "And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. And we know that when he appears, we'll be like him because we will see him just as he is." He says, we don't know, it's not appeared as what we will be yet. Do you realize that we have been changed? We are in the process of being changed. And when we get into heaven, we will be completely changed. You know? And so we have a new nature. Now, the world's religion is this. You know what the world tells you? The world tells you, be true to yourself. Right? Well, just be true to yourself, man. If that's who you are, be true to you, you know. If you're an angry person, just own it. Just own it. Just be angry. You know, just be true to you. Don't change for anybody. Well, here's my question. What if the way you are is wrong? What if the you is corrupted? What if the you is tainted by sin? What if the you is a horrible person? Are you going to be true to that? No. We need to be true to the Lord. We don't need to be true to me. I don't need to be true to Grant. Grant will mess his life up. Huh? Grant will make the wrong choice. Grant will go the wrong direction, but the Lord won't. Me without Jesus isn't a nice guy. Jesus has changed me. He's transformed me. He's put a new nature in me. So that I want to be true to Grant, I want to be true to Jesus and let Jesus change me. I want to be true to the new nature. But when he appears, Jesus is coming back. We looked at that a little bit last week, remember, about Jesus coming back. And so let's live in such a way that we won't shrink away, that we won't be ashamed. Jesus is coming back. And when he appears, we're going to see him face to face. And it's going to be very personal, guys. And I got to tell you, it's real. And Jesus is going to look you straight in the eye. He's going to hold you accountable for the way you've lived. For his glory or for your selfishness. By his standards or by what you deemed appropriate. And when we see him, we are going to come before him as his child or an enemy. And what I would love to see everyone walk out of here today knowing is that I would meet him as Father and not judge. That I would approach his throne through the eyes of a child, not as a rebellious, sinful human that was created in his image, but never worshiped the Creator, but rather worshiped the creation. That can be yourself, and that can be things of this world. But when we see him, we'll see him just as he is, and we'll be like him. And we won't be God. How many of y'all realize you ain't going to be God? We'll be like him. You could sit there, you could think about that for a long time. What's that going to be like? What's heaven going to be like? You know, some of you probably have had these moments in life where life just has been so horrible that you just start thinking about heaven. How many of y'all have been there and done that? Your life's just been in such a way you're like, man, this is, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Has anybody ever said that? You know, maybe when you've had like the stomach virus or something, you know. Lord, just take me on home, take me on home, take me on home. Oh, I can't. You start thinking about heaven. No sickness, no death. We're going to be just like him. We won't sin in heaven. Guess what? I'm out of a job in heaven. Now, the praise team will be able to still worship, but I ain't going to be able to preach. I'll be like, do you know Jesus? Yeah. You know Jesus? Yeah, I do. Everybody knows Jesus. What am I going to do? I'm going to worship him. I'm going to fall at his feet. And I'm going to thank him for all eternity. Verse 3 says, everyone who has his hope, this hope fixed on him, purifies himself just as he is pure. There is a great work that goes on in your life when you do focus on heaven. Now, you just don't want to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But as C.S. Lewis said that you need to have one eye heavenward and one eye earthward so you don't get out of focus. Because there's still a mission that we need to do while we're here, okay? There's still things God wants us to do here. And as we hope and we look to our future that we're going to be with Jesus and we're going to live with him forever, and he's going to be our God, he's going to be our king, he's changed how I'm living, what I fix my eyes on affects how I live here. It purifies us. Jesus' blood purifies us. In the Old Testament, you'll read all kinds of things about cleansings and ritualistic cleaning and all these things. And what's all that about? Well, that's pointing to the fact that we need to be made clean. Has anybody ever felt just dirty? You know, some of you this morning, you may feel dirty inside because there's things in your life that shouldn't be there that you know shouldn't be there, but they're there. Some of you maybe in the past have done certain things. Maybe it be sexual immorality or drugs or whatever. And then you found yourself going to your room or to a motel room and just taking a shower. Just trying to get clean because though you might not have been physically dirty, there's just something in you that knows that there's just something not right. And Jesus cleanses us from our sin. And so this morning, if you're feeling dirty or if you're feeling unclean, I want to ask you that you just come to Jesus and you say, well, what if I'm a child of God and there's some things in my life that shouldn't be there? In 1 John, in just the verses that we've looked at before, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to repent. Repentance is not just a one-time thing we need to do. We need to continually live a life of repentance. Okay? He cleanses us. Now look at verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away what? Sins, and in him there is no sin. Now, when we look at these next few verses, we got to understand what he's saying here. When he's talking about the child of God, and he's going to talk about the children of the devil, there's going to be a difference in the way of life. When it says that, when it's talking about the word practices here, we're going to have to define this. It is a continual way of living. It is an attitude of life that is in disregard to God. So the person who lives in such a way that their life is continually a lifestyle of a practice of sin, he says, is breaking the law, and lawlessness and sin is lawlessness. But Jesus came to take away our sins. And in him, who is the him? Jesus, there is what? How many of y'all have ever lived a perfect life? Do I have anybody out there that's lived a perfect life? Okay, good. None of us have lived a perfect life. So we all have what in our life? So we all broke the law. God said, do not do this, and what did we do? We did it, right? And so we all are guilty of sin. And Jesus came to take away our sins. That's good news, right? Because in him, there is what? No sin. So who is the perfect one? Who obeyed the law perfectly? Okay? Now, when he died on the cross, the Bible says that he became sin on our behalf. He didn't sin. Jesus didn't sin. But he became sin on our behalf so that we might be forgiven. So those of us who are Christians, our sin was laid at the foot of the cross, and it was nailed to the cross, and we've been forgiven and set free. For those of you who do not know Jesus, guess what? Your sins are paid for at the cross, and if you will receive Jesus as Lord and come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need your forgiveness, the work that he did on the cross will be imputed to you as righteousness. So that means that those of us who are children of God, we have been made righteous before God By whose sacrifice? Our sacrifice or his? His. Now watch. Verse 6. No one who abides in him, this is Jesus, so no one who dwells in him and walks with him and lives with him and has been born in his family and is a child of God, no one who is a child of God, and I sin, so am I not a child of God? Well, we know that just in the verses before this, he says that, hey, I'm writing these things to you so that you not sin. But if any of you do sin, we have an advocate from the Father. Remember that? So what's he saying? In this chunk of Scripture, this is in the present tense, he's talking about a way of life. Here's what he's saying. If you're a Christian and you embrace sin and you embrace it, let me rewind. Okay, let me rewind and restart that, okay? If you claim to be a Christian, let me put that there, okay? If you claim to be a Christian and embrace sin, and you say, you know, I know this is what God says to be true, but I don't like what God says, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. You know, I know God says not to get drunk, but I'm going to get drunk every chance I get. I know God says not to have sex with anybody that you're not married to, but I'm going to have sex with as much people as I can or as often as I can. I'm just going to embrace that. That's me. I'm going to be true to me. That's who I am. I'm a sexual pervert, so that's just me. If anyone embraces a lifestyle like that, they're not a believer. There's a difference between battling sin and embracing sin. There's a difference between getting up and being tempted, and I mean, you're swinging and you're fighting. I mean, you got the full armor of God on, you know, and sometimes, you know, Satan gets you and boom, you know, knocks you down. But a child of God gets back up and says, man, that was wrong. You're right, God. I'm sorry. A true child of God lives a life of repentance and has the desire to live for God. That you cannot just wallow in sin and feel good about it and say you're a believer. You can't do it. You can't own your sin and say, I'm just being true to me. You know, you cannot do that. He says, no, if a person who's a believer does not sin, he's saying, cannot live in that lifestyle of sin and feel no guilt about it. The youth children's minister at Fairview, I was hearing his testimony during that youth revival, and he went to an event that practically scared him into heaven, right? He went to this one of these scare tactic hell events, you know, and it just, he was like, you know, whoa, I know I don't want to go to that place. I don't really know about heaven, but I know I don't want to go there, so I'll, you know, whatever you want to say, I'm going to say it, you know. And so he went through this religious routine, but he never did really give his heart to Christ. He said, I remember one day I was listening to the preacher, and he was saying about how a child of God cannot sin and find lasting sin and find joy out of that. They'll be convicted of it. You see, conviction brings cleansing. Condemnation crushes, but conviction cleanses. Okay? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? But conviction brings us to repentance. And he says he remembers the preacher saying, you know, talking about sin and saying, you know, if you're a Christian, you can't feel good about it, and you can't live in it, you can't do that. And he remembers sitting there thinking, you know, well, I'm a Christian, and I don't feel bad about this, and I don't feel bad about that, and I think that's pretty fun. And he realized, I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus, because all this stuff that I'm enjoying is not of God. And a child of God cannot enjoy the things that are not of God. You cannot wallow in it. You cannot live in it. No one who abides in him lives a continual embracing a lifestyle of sin. It cannot happen. He says, verse 7, little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is what? Righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who loves Jesus and follows Jesus and desires to live for Jesus and has a desire to know him and pray to him and worship him and read his word and give to him and serve him and all these things, That's the person that's been born again, because we have a new nature living in us, and this new nature desires to please who? Our old nature desires to please who? Self and Satan. But a child of God has a new nature living in us, right? And so that new nature desires to please the Lord. Now, verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Wow, John. Just cut to the chase, you know. Don't you just like preachers who will just preach it plain? I like John here. He just says, and you're like, well, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Now, I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian, but I don't worship the devil. You may not, you know, have a seance and burn candles to him and get in a circle or whatever, but by default, John says that if you do not worship Jesus, you're worshiping the devil. Because the devil was a created being who desired to be more important than God. And he rebelled, and he was an angel, and he was cast out of heaven along with a third of the angels. He's been in rebellion ever since. And if we follow the ways of Satan, then we will put self above Christ. And so this morning, if you're not a believer, then the God that you worship is your own self. You're worshiping you. You're doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and you're saying, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it my way. That's a very dangerous place to be, because what John says is that there's two types of people. There's the child of God, and there's the child of the devil. Let's continue to read. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned since when? From the beginning. And the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to take away our sin, and he came to take away the works of the devil. Do you realize there is a real devil? There is a real enemy, and he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you. He's not your friend. You know, he looks cool. You know, Satan doesn't come around like the Halloween picture of Satan. You know, those of you who are old enough to watch, you know, Tom and Jerry, y'all remember the Tom and Jerry cartoon? Some of y'all remember Tom and Jerry? Y'all remember watching Tom and Jerry? Then every once in a while, Tom would have this battle going on right on his shoulders, right? There'd be this little devil cat pop up, this little angel cat pop up, right? And that little devil cat, he'd have what on? He'd have horns. And he had a pitchfork, and he had this long, pointy tail. You know, that's not what Satan looks like. He's very seductive. He will disguise himself as an angel of light. He will make himself look sexy when he needs to look sexy. He'll make himself look cool when he needs to be cool. He'll make himself look intellectual when he needs to be intellectual. And he will deceive, and he will destroy, and he will take you down a path that you never intended to travel, and he will destroy everything about your life. He'll take your marriage and throw it away. He'll take your relationship with your kids and crush it. He'll take your health, and he'll destroy it. Anything that he can do, he will do, and it will be through sin and self and selfishness, and it will destroy your life. But Jesus came to take away the power of the enemy. He has no power, only what you allow him. The lies that he tells you, if you believe those, he'll entrap you and enslave you. But Jesus has given us a greater strength, and he is stronger than him. Later on in this chapter, so greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Again, children of God, you cannot embrace sin as a life, and have no problem with it, and see no problem with it, Because when you abide in Jesus, He will convict us of our sin and our wrongdoing. And when we are in right fellowship with Him, some sweet times, isn't it? How many of you all have been just out of fellowship with God before in your walk? You've been honored. You just acted up as a child. How many of you all ever acted up as a child when you were little? Anybody? And when you're acting up as a child, how does that affect your relationship with your parents? Like when you're really acting crazy and foolish, is that the best time to go to mom and dad and say, hey, you know, I was really liking the new this or that? Is that the best time to ask for money? No. But man, when you're in sweet fellowship with him, with your parents, you know, and you're doing what's supposed to be and you're behaving like you're supposed to be, and you go up and ask your parents, hey, I'd really like such and such. And what's the attitude there? It's a lot better, isn't it? We're children of God, church. If you are a child, if you've been born again, you are a child of God. We need to walk in sweet fellowship with Him. You know, I find when I'm reading my Bible, I get a little closer walk with God. Has anybody ever figured that? Have you figured that out yet? If you read your Bible, it helps you in your walk with God, okay? About 12 of you have. Now, the rest of you, look, I promise you, if you will read your Bible, it will help you in your walk with God. How many of y'all discovered that just praising Him helps your walk with God? Coming to church, huh? Coming to church, does that help your walk with God? How about praying? Does that help your walk with God? How y'all discover that if you will constantly talk to God, it helps that relationship out a lot? How about serving Him? Have y'all discovered that serving Him helps your relationship with Him? What about giving to Him? Giving and honoring God with the tithes that He has blessed you with, does that not help your walk with God? It does. It puts things in perspective. We've been in this 90-day challenge, and we're on week 2. And I want to thank you for those of you who are really taking this to heart. And we're going to let God have first place in all of our lives, all areas, okay? With our friends, with our family, our finances, our everything about our lives. Let's put God's way ahead of ours. We'll close with verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. He says, the one who loves Jesus is the one who follows Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, where do you stand with Him? I'm not asking you, have you joined a church? I'm not asking you if you signed a card. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you, where do you stand with Jesus? Are you placing your complete faith and hope in the cross and resurrection of Jesus and knowing that He died for you and you cling to Him? Because if not, you're on dangerous ground. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in your life right now that shouldn't be there? And that if He were to come back today and sit down and take inventory of your life, that you wouldn't try to sneak out the back door and hide? Because you can't get away from an all-seeing God. Some of you, I don't want you to be deceived. There will be a day when we stand before God and there's going to be a group of folks who think they're in and they're not. And I don't want you to be one of those. I don't want myself to be one of those. I don't want to say, Lord, I did this, I did that. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I think that our soul is the most important thing and that where you go when you die is of utmost importance today. More important than where you go eat out here in a little bit, more important than what you do after this church is over. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that today, if you were to die, that heaven would be your home. So let's pray. Father, speak to us, God. Those of us who are your children, we want to thank you for loving us in such an awesome way that you brought us into your family. And Lord, because of this great love, we want to follow you and serve you. And so, Lord, I pray that every day as we're motivated to serve you, not out of fear, but out of love and devotion, that we would just cling to you and abide in you. And Lord, when we stumble, we confess it. Lord, if there's someone here this morning and they're just embracing sin and they see no problem with it and they call themselves a Christian, would you please speak truth into their life today? If they're just clinging to a way of life that is completely against you, but yet they say they're a Christian, would you reveal truth to them today of where they truly stand? For those who need to come and receive grace, Lord, would you just enable their hearts and their will to come today and say, Jesus, save me. And for those of us who know you, may we just love you more in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's pray, let's respond. Whatever God is saying to you this morning, come. There's people you need to pray for. There's people you need to pray with. There's decisions that need to be made today. Whatever it is, come.